Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to New Human Living Radio Show, bringing you powerful interviews to awaken the power in you. Learn more at newhumanliving.com. And now your host, Les Jensen.
Hello and welcome to the show tonight. I'm really excited with what we've got lined up, and I think you're really going to enjoy it. But, you know, I wanted to take a minute before we get started and talk about the notion of compassion and forgiveness and love, the ability to love. And I want to talk about these three elements in a very specific context, and that is how it relates to you, how to love yourself, how to forgive yourself, and how to be compassionate with yourself. You know, when you look at how life is playing out in our society, there's an immense amount of very chaotic and violent events that are happening on this planet all the time. There's wars going on, there's deceit, there's all flavors of human abuse, basically. And there's human beings that are inflicting it, and there's human beings that are the victim of it. And sometimes when you look at your past, you'll see episodes, you'll see moments, you'll see situations where you didn't really perhaps behave in a very dignified way, in a very perhaps righteous way, or any kind of a context where you put judgment on your behavior. It doesn't matter really what flavor of judgment it is. It's the judgment itself that does the damage. So here we are on planet Earth, and there's all this chaotic crap going on. And sometimes some of us have been the initiators of the pain, of the suffering, of the torment, of the heartbreak of others. And you know, it sure can be a tough thing when you have an event with somebody and you look in their eyes and there's such an index of pain and fret and torment going on that you can really feel a very stout sense of guilt and shame. Well, guilt and shame are like karmic concrete. You might as well tie a freight train around your neck and jump in the river, because guilt and shame take you to the very edge of darkness. And guilt and shame are a very stout judgment of what should or should not have happened. And when we're so heavy with ourselves in self-judgment, we're actually stifling our potential, our ability to love, our ability to forgive, to make amends and to heal. Many times we can get stuck in a very static and stagnant way where we don't actually make any progress when it comes to loving ourselves. But in truth, no matter what it is you have done, in fact, think of the history of humanity and the biggest scallywags on the planet, nobody has ever broken a karmic law. Well, wait a minute, there's been all this, you know, terrible tragedies and carnage in our human history. Certainly that's got to be wrong. Well, actually, karmically, it's permissible. We live on a planet where we have fierce freedom. We have fierce freedom to express ourselves, even to the point of extinction, even to the brink of destruction of ourselves and of the collective. But none of those are karmically incorrect, because those options always exist in our human nature. And just because we chose to play some of those out does not ever diminish our divinity, ever. So when you hold yourself in self-judgment, you're literally stymieing your own progression, your own healing. The more you stay in the guilt and the shame, the more propensity you have of living in that darkness, which is where those types of behaviors come from. The universe as a whole doesn't care which one you choose. The principles will be played out no matter what choices you make. But when you forgive yourself, when you give compassion to your own self, that sure, there was a train wreck with your handwriting on it. Sure, there was a tragedy that you had initiated either consciously or unconsciously. But in truth, you didn't ever break a karmic law. So you're innocent. You're innocent no matter what. And I know a lot of people are going to say, well, but wait a minute. But in truth, the karmic principles allow for the total expression of our human potential, and it's always been that way. No human being has ever broken a karmic law. So forgive yourself. Let go of it. Release it. Take a deep breath. And look inside and find that passion, because we're all here for a purpose and a reason. Find your own inner passion and then give it your attention and your intention to grow it. And you can turn any life story around with that principle. I'm so glad that you're here now, and that's all that counts. Show up for yourself now. Forgive your past and learn to love yourself, because the world is such a beautiful place to live. Well, I'm really excited about the show tonight. The title is Vibrational Resonance, Cellular Communication, and Optimum Health. Our guest tonight is Dr. Stephen Schwartz. He's a chiropractor who is specialized in chronic inflammatory conditions. Can you tell I'm reading? Allergies, chronic pain, and human performance for nearly 15 years. He's the national trainer and president of ASA Technologies, which is a sales training, consulting, and development company for cutting-edge alternative devices. Dr. Schwartz is also the founder and developer of Bioharmonic Technologies, which produce and specialized sound healing products called Sonicceuticals that help promote and support healthy human psychology. Join me in welcoming Dr. Stephen Schwartz to the show. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. That was a great introduction. And I'm thinking that as I was thinking about the title of our show here today, about vibrational resonance and cellular communication and optimal health, it's amazing how much the areas that you just talked about, the compassion, the forgiveness, and the love, how that's so much overlooked with people with chronic degenerative conditions and allergies, how they harbor a lot of guilt and shame, and they're not even doing it on purpose. It's just anchored into the cells. So that was a great introduction for what we can discuss later on throughout the show here today.
Well, why don't we start off with the idea of how you came about discovering your own personal passion?
Well, you know, that's a good question. You know, it's an interesting story. So one of the things is I'm just finishing up my first book, which I'm real excited about. And I was just writing the acknowledgments and the dedications. And this is something I haven't done before. So I have a book mentor that I've been referring to, and he was giving me instructions on how to do that. And basically you have to go through and, you know, who do you dedicate this book to? And the book is essentially how to reverse aging and degeneration using is bioenergetic technologies or bioenergetic principles that we'll probably talk about a little bit later in this hour. But as I was thinking back on it, it really took me back to my journey and how the passion came about, exactly what you just asked. And when I was a little boy, I was diagnosed with ADD, and my dad's a pharmacist, so I grew up in a pharmacy. And so in the early 80s, next thing you know, they didn't put me on pharmaceuticals. They decided to go natural with me and do like an avoidance diet and things like that. And little did I know that I was going to grow up and start working with this condition. It wasn't like I said, oh, wow, I want to do this when I grow up. You know, jumping forward, there was all these other events that took place in my life that brought me into working with this. And really, when I ended up in chiropractic school, my mother was diagnosed with an autoimmune disease. Now, my true first real passion is with sports. That's why I went to become a chiropractor in the first place, to work with human performance and sports injuries and Olympic athletes and professional athletes and extreme sport athletes. Those are all who I wanted to work with when I was envisioning being a chiropractor. So when my mother was diagnosed with an autoimmune disease, she said, what can chiropractic alternative health care do for me? And I had no idea, so I literally just started looking into it. And this was before the days of Google, so it took a little more research. I mean, it was the mid-90s, so the Internet was just kind of just getting started. And I saw that really there wasn't a lot of options for people with autoimmune diseases or chronic degenerative conditions other than symptomatic suppressive therapy that was being done medically. And even in alternative worlds, there wasn't a whole lot of therapies being offered. So I watched my mom degenerate over the next basically four or five years. And then I was living out in Colorado. I just had moved out here, and there was a woman that was treating allergies. And when I was looking at her practice, she was totally busy every 15 minutes for like 6 days a week straight. She was booked out for months. And she was treating everything that walked through the door, whether it was like a known allergy or not. And she said to me, you know, you should learn this, or you should have your mom try this. And that's exactly what we did. We came out, my mother came out, and we had her, got her evaluation. And for the first time in 5 years, my mom actually started improving. And then this doctor said, you should go learn this. And I went out to San Diego, took some training. And I remember sitting in that training that day and saying to myself, my life is never going to be the same after this. Just the principles that I learned, it connected a lot of dots for me that I did not have before. And I brought it back to my practice the following week. I started working with patients. I started getting results with it. And that was the beginning of the journey. And really, that was in 2000. And now it's 2014. And my practice has just evolved, working with energy and working with the bioenergetics of the body. What I find to be interesting is study the laws of nature. It makes perfect sense. But if you study what we learn, that kind of traditional dogma, I'm not even talking about specifically about just medicine in general. It doesn't have to be Western medicine. It can be chiropractic, acupuncture. A lot of these teachings are all the same. And a lot of times they don't match up to the universal laws. And that's why I think we don't get the results that we think we should be getting, because just because we learn something in school and we're trying to apply it to the body, then you're not getting the results because we're in violation of some kind of natural universal law, because universal law is all about balance, health, and healing. And when people are having symptoms or people are having a breakdown in their body due to disease, that is the expression of a breakdown of that balance. So that's essentially in a nutshell. Then we have to ask ourselves, why do we have those breakdowns? What are the triggers that's causing them? And emotions is one part of it, like you said in the introduction about guilt and shame. And so many people have experienced things and they carry that and never let it down. And next thing you know, it anchors itself vibrationally into the way your cells are expressing themselves. And your cells are expressing that negativity. And that creates what we refer to as the law of attraction, which was popularized recently in the book The Secret and the movie The Secret. But really, this is a universal law of attraction. So this is my passion, is how can we work with these vibrational resonance above the chemical reaction, how our cells communicate with one another in such a special way. And So,
well, I know you've released some of your CDs now that have been selling internationally, and the components of that CD is sound and music. Did you recognize music and sound in your life at an early stage as a tool that you would end up using later on?
You know, that's a fascinating. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Douglas.
Or did it become obvious? It didn't become obvious until after you had the training that you had just talked about.
You know, that's amazing to reflect back on that. You know, I love music. When I look at my family dynamics, my oldest sister is big time into music. Her and I share the love of the same kinds of music. My mother, at one point, was a soprano opera singer. Basically, she got accepted to Juilliard, even though she never really ended up doing that. But I remember growing up and having my mom just sing in the kitchen all the time. That was how I grew up. Did I play any instruments growing up? Not really. I remember I played the saxophone for a little bit when I was younger. I think the thing was as big as I was. Lugging it back and forth to school, I wasn't too excited about doing it. But as I ended up growing up and becoming a chiropractor and working with energy, I started saying to myself, it was all steps. So the first step was muscle reflex testing and using these little homeopathic vials with vibrational signatures in them and treating people with them and saying, wow, I can treat pretty much anything with these. So that was a major part of my practice. And then as my practice grew, I saw that there was other aspects that I needed to incorporate in with this, and I wanted to bring in more doctors or practitioners, so I needed to reproduce these vials. So I said, is there another way of doing it? And I started thinking, how am I making these vials currently? How am I imprinting the energetic signatures? There's got to be another way. And I said, well, what happens if we use sound? What if sound comes in? Why can't we record different signatures and use that? How would that influence the body? So it was a complete experiment. And in 2006, I said to myself, I want to do this experiment. Who do I know that has a recording studio? And a really good friend of mine that I had done some trainings with had a recording studio, and I called him up, and I asked him, I was like, hey, do you have any health issues? And he said, you know, I just started dating a girl. She has three cats, and I'm deathly allergic to cats. And I thought that was perfect because my one of the most consistent treatments that I was doing at the time was with cat allergies. So I knew what kind of outcome I would expect to see what I was getting in my clinic. So it was a good comparative to what I would be doing with the sound. So I went to his recording studio, and I reproduced these energetic signatures as audio files. And these audio files, and I was totally making this up. I just reproduced the way that I had my protocols laid out. Were we muscle testing? Were we saying things out loud? Were we doing them under, you know, just intending them? All these different aspects. And the long and short of the experiment was we tested my friend for 22 different cat samples. And out of those 22 samples, he was allergic to 18 of them. So it was just a very severe allergy. And over the next four visits that we conducted, I believe we did it in 1 week, I treated him in four different visits, and then I had him go test it out. And he told me the story about how he went over to his girlfriend's house, and he started chasing around the cats, and they were hiding under the table, under the bed and all that. And he eventually couldn't grab a cat to test it, so he took his face and he rubbed it in the cat bed, figured that would stimulate his reaction. And I was on pins and needles wondering how he was going to react to that. He told me, no reaction. And from that time, I'm happy to say that was 2006, and he is now married to that girl, and they live with the cats, and he has no symptoms. So,
oh, nice.
So that was the beginning of bioharmonic technologies and really seeing how you could use different technologies. So I started developing programs based around music. One comment I'd like to make about music that I think is the most amazing thing that I've learned as I started studying music, because I always say I'm a scientist studying music. I'm not a musician studying science. So I love hanging out with musicians and picking the brains of musicians and having them play with me and telling them about the music of the body, and they're telling me about music theory. It's one of my favorite things to do. through my research, I think one of the most fascinating little tidbits that I've ever learned that proves to me that God is a musician, I can basically prove it. You want to hear what that is, Les?
Sure, yeah, yeah.
So when we develop in embryological times, when we're in the womb, our nervous system is the first thing to form. And we form in these, what they refer to as notochords. And essentially, it's kind of like a horseshoe. It's a piece of material that's folded over on itself. And from that material, it begins to open up. And from that, so we start seeing this connection, what they refer to as the love-it relationships. And so you have different corresponding nerve roots to one another in the body that form from the same tissue. So they're neurologically connected to one another. So when we look at the spine, there's 24 vertebra. There's 12 vertebra in the thoracic spine, and that's where the ribs attach, and that's the middle part of our body where all the organs are and our chest cavity and everything like that. Then we have 7 cervical vertebra to the neck, and we have 5 lumbar vertebra that are in the low back. And so when we look at 12, there's 2 sets of 12. 7 and 5 make 12, and then the 12 thoracic vertebra. Remember, when we're looking at a keyboard, the black and white keys on a piano, that's what they refer to as the chromatic scale of music. And that also resonates with our voice. When we speak or sing or communicate, we're essentially connecting with some note in that chromatic scale. Comes to find out that there's 12 notes in the chromatic scale, and it corresponds to the 12 vertebra in our thoracic spine, and then the second set of 12 that correspond in our neck and low back. And they correspond to the same notes. So
nice.
We are a living instrument. And all the scientific research on consciousness and on neurology corresponds to being able to use our human instrument, which is that of our human voice. And because it carries the consciousness of our nervous system and of our body. So the same as we have an instrument like a piano or a tuba or a flute, we have the human instrument that can be tuned or out of tune just the same way. Isn't that fascinating?
Yeah, it is. I like how you tie it in at such a fundamentally authentic moment. I mean, when we're forming it in our most basic structure inside the womb, we've already imprinted with the footprint of sound, if you will.
Well, let's talk about that, Les, because that's
sure.
A really interesting point that you bring up. When you go down, because now let's go there. Remember, with this talk, it's called Vibrational Resonance and Cellular Communication, Dermal Health. I can't tell you how many kids that I see at a very young age are basically coming out of the womb sick. And if you're developing this neurological connection or this musical instrument from the womb, where is it getting its energy and imprinting from, like you just said, from the mother? So what's going on with the mother? Is this a child that is wanted? Is the mother in a good relationship with the father? Are they stressed about money, where they're going to live? All these different scenarios. Where are they living? Are they living in a toxic environment? What kind of food are they consuming? What kind of beverages are they consuming? Are they smokers, doing drugs, consuming alcohol? They drink coffee, artificial sweeteners and flavors and all these different things. All of these factors are part of the equation in the mother as the child's instrument, as the child instrument is developing. And so when you go back into talking about guilt and shame, where this whole evening began, does the mother have guilt and shame? And when you think of the amniotic fluid that is surrounding, that's bathing the child attached to the, and the baby's connected to the mother through the placenta with all of her nutrients going in and feeding the development of this, what are the vibrational resonance of the water, of that amniotic fluid, which is 99% water, that is bathing this early cellular communication network to develop? How is it being imprinted at that early stage?
You know, it makes me think about the notion of a white picket fence, where we have this idea of how life should be. You're supposed to, perhaps in some of the stouter religious arenas, to not have a baby out of wedlock or not have sex out of wedlock, or these visions of how life, quote, should be, unquote. And yet, if you look at the nature of our human demeanor, there's so much chaos. I mean, you go, especially if you, it can be much more easily to see in a, maybe in an inner city where the volatility of relationships are measured in months or let alone years. And everything happens in kind of a quicker timeline, and people get pregnant, and they might project on themselves the idea that, well, I'm not following the rules, or I'm acting out of context, and they might feel guilty about that, or a sense of shame in relationship to the culture.
Absolutely. And you know what? Where does that culture come from? You know, and then we have this whole other concept of what I refer to as transgenerational imprinting. And this transgenerational imprinting is, you might have the best parents in the world, but where did they come? Where did they originate from? What was their parents or their parents' parents? How were they vibrating when they were in the womb? And that's directly creating their, having that input into their DNA, and it's passed generationally down. And we see this, like, think about the African-American culture. There's like this feeling of suppression. You know, they came over from Africa as slaves to North America here, and it's a segregated community. And really, if you think about it, that was only like the 60s. You know, it's only been a few decades, really. So it's really a modern problem. Think about the Jewish religion, you know, the Holocaust, and how much they've been persecuted over through time. So These are major what they refer to as miasms or transgenerational imprinting that just have been passed through the DNA. Because what is the DNA? They're essentially cellular antennas. They're vibrational resonating antennas that are creating signatures for how our cells are going to reproduce through a process called mitosis. I talk about that in my upcoming book, actually, how it's connected to cellular vibration and cellular communication. And it's something that's never discussed in traditional textbooks.
Well, so let's take it to the other side. When you're somebody comes in with an ailment, and here you are, you've clicked off years and years of really being engaged in how this works. You've played with music and sound, and you're getting results. When you work on somebody, how does that feel to see the symptom and then bring an effect to it and then watch the change happen?
It's an interesting concept, because let's be real, okay? When you go to your doctor, 99% of the people go to their healthcare providers because they have some ailment, they have something going on. And when you have that ailment, they want to feel better. And really, that's why most of our society is geared towards symptomatic relief. I have a headache, so I'm going to take some pill or something to not have a headache. Or, you know, I have some kind of injury, musculoskeletal injury or something. They just want to feel better. And most people don't like going to the doctor in the first place, so they have to really be in a bad place before they decide to go. Not many people are saying, hey, you know what, I just want to stay healthy, even though I'd prefer to be seeing those kind of patients. Majority of people have something going on, so they want to see results, and they want to see results quickly. People that have chronic degenerative conditions like fibromyalgia, rheumatoid arthritis, asthma, any kind of irritable bowel syndrome, any kind of thing like that, or you know, even chronic degenerative conditions like Parkinson's or even depression, which has been linked to inflammation of the brain, and MS, and all these really horrible conditions, or even just the common cold. Let's keep it simple, right? They want to feel better quickly. And so when you start working with sound, or you're working with vibration, or you're working with light, and interesting enough, when you think about sound and light, you know the difference between sound and light, Les? You know what the
frequency.
Only difference between those two things are?
Frequency.
Frequency, actually, it's speed. They have the speed of sound versus the speed of light. And they exist on the same electromagnetic field spectrum, except one is faster than the other. One wavelength is bigger or smaller than the other. And it's really an interesting concept because when we look at our bodies, you know, biblically, when we read the Bible or spiritual scripture, they always refer to us, they say, we are light. And we think of it metaphorically, but realistically, it's actually how we operate. We are light, yet we're slowed down into a physical dimension of our human existence. So what is sound? Sound is slow light. So interestingly enough, light is more about quantum physics, particles and waves, and being able to have multiple dimensions and multiple possibilities. All these things, anything's possible in quantum physics, and when you exist in a wave. But all of a sudden, when you pull this waveform of a sea of infinite possibility into something, an idea, a thought, it grounds us into our physical dimension, into a sound vibrational wave of physicality. So this is when we're using devices like sound, light, and frequency technologies or devices, we're essentially accessing the pure essence of our cells, and that's why our cells like it so much and respond so well to it. So to answer your question about how does it work with the patient, some people are more sensitive than others, and if you're sensitive to energy and frequency, they can notice, they can feel it. But realistically, it doesn't really feel like much, but what we tend to see is the body begins correcting, and then they start seeing changes in their symptoms. Or more realistically, we see things like, hey, you know, I usually don't sleep that well, and now I'm sleeping better, or I have better energy, or, wow, it's the weirdest thing, I've increased mental clarity, which I never thought was really possible before. I never thought that was an issue. Or, you know, I always, every time I eat something, I belch afterwards, and ironically, that's gone following that treatment, even if we weren't directly treating it. But what we are doing is we're working on bringing the body back into balance. And that is how we see it, because we're operating at the realm of the way the cells communicate. And the cells actually communicate it through a process, and it's in every medical textbook. Within the first three pages of every medical textbook, you're going to read about a process that they refer to as signal transduction. And a signal is basically a stimulus, a stimuli of some form. Transduction, meaning transducing information from cell to cell. If you break that down into what that really means, it basically means that we are vibrational beings because our cells communicate through a vibrational network. From that vibrational network then comes chemical cascades, and the chemical cascades is what creates all of our biochemistry. And through whether we take nutrition, which is food, or whether we're using supplementation or even pharmaceuticals, they all interact at that biochemical level. However, if we're using devices like sound or frequency generating like biofeedback devices or lasers, those go a step above the biochemistry and can influence the cell directly at the signal transduction level and can create changes in biochemistry. And I feel like I like to go directly to the source. And when I go directly to the source, you're going to be able to address the trigger, which is causing the biochemical reaction in the first place.
Nice. You know, and the way nature is, especially like in our bodies, everything's tied to everything else. So if your kidney's not working, it's has an influence over the other organs. And when, you know, you were talking about how people might have a benefit or an improvement from their condition that they weren't expecting, And when you practice on them, when you allow the body to find its own balance, it has its own intelligence to do that. But when you create an opportunity for it to make headway towards a better balance, it ripples through the whole persona of the body. I like that.
Yeah. Well, and that's what this is all about. I mean, we talk about going back to when we first started this conversation. I was talking about the environment of the child developing in the womb, and you know, the state of the mother. The reality of it is, we live in a toxic world nowadays, and as I was writing my book, I really wanted to put a positive spin on the book, because I'm a positive person, and I believe that I don't want a doom and gloom book. One thing I don't like is using scare tactics to communicate what I'm trying to communicate to humanity. We are an amazing organism as humans, and we're very resilient, but if we look at the world for which we live in, everything's toxic. The food is genetically modified. Most people are using, artificial flavors and sweeteners. We're over-coffeed. We're over-caffeined. We're over-sugared in everything that we do. The water that we drink. As I was researching one of the chapters on hydration, I was finding, there's places in the United States that say, oh, this is the best water in the United States, and I wanted to see where the United States water supply falls. You know, like, where do we fall in the world for the best water? And I could not even find where the U.S. was even ranked as the world's best water. There was some, like, I read the top 10 and top 20 best water places and best water sources in the world, and the United States is not even on that list.
So it's probably the farthest away from humanity.
Exactly. So when you're in places like, oh, we have really good water here, it's all relative, because the United States as a whole isn't even in the equation for good water, period. And so now our water's tainted, and it's chemically treated to keep it in a neutral or slightly basic or alkaline environment, but it's all chemically treated. There's all kinds of pharmaceuticals that are found. There's waste materials that are found in there, and microparts per million, and they say it's totally safe, but it's still things that are being ingested into our bodies. Vaccines is a big deal now. There's kids are getting double the vaccines that they did back in the 1950s. And so now ties into all these chronic conditions. It's a whole new epidemic in America. Everything is essentially tainted in our world. So I feel that everybody, we need to do something about keeping our body in a place of balance, because we are always going to be out of balance. And if you think about it, ironically, every 3,000 miles we go to get our car, an oil change in our car, or tires rotated, or whatever it is, there's some kind of maintenance. There's like a law of maintenance. Also, though, when we look at our houses, we need to paint our house, and we need to mow the lawn and weed the garden and do basic maintenance to the house just as it gets old. But the maintenance, nobody thinks about applying that to the human body. And we abuse our bodies more than we do our houses and our cars. A lot of times those cars sit in a nice, a nice garage. They never go outside if the weather's bad.
Right.
In terms of our house, we keep it all nice and decorated, nice and clean. And yet we'll go out and smoke cigarettes and drink alcohol and do drugs and, and have poor diet and drink, sugary beverages and you name it, and then not even talk about the emotional stuff. We carry guilt and shame and, we're not good enough. We're stressed about our relationships. We're stressed about our jobs, our careers, our finances. I'll put all that in equation, and you don't do any maintenance on your body. So let the years go by, 10 years, 20 years, 30 years, 40 years, until eventually, how long is it going to take before that starts showing up and influencing your body? So we need to do some level of maintenance, whether you're using sound, light, and frequency technologies, getting adjusted, getting acupuncture, doing a liver detox, drinking good water, just meditating or taking time to yourself, getting out of your environment and traveling, whatever it is, there needs to be some level of maintenance scheduled into your lifestyle, and that's how you're going to really preserve aging. And I go through each one of those. I go through each one of those areas and others in my book. And really, that's been my dogma that I've been preaching and instilling into my patients in my practice really for more than 10 years. Are those basic principles on how to reverse aging and degeneration and reduce the inflammatory process.
Yeah, you know, when you start paying attention to your body and how it responds to your choices, you can do really simple things like eliminate something out of your diet and see how you feel, you know, or perhaps the volume of food that you eat and see how you feel, or hydrating, like you said. When you pay attention, when you're conscious of how you feel and how that feeling changes as you expose your body to different foods or environments, you can start to gain a rapport or an intuitive intelligence about what your body wants. And every single time that you honor what your body wants, it improves your life. And like we said earlier, it can improve your life in ways that you didn't expect to happen.
You're absolutely right. In fact, that's one of the chapters that I speak in detail about in the book is about connecting with one's intuition. It's grossly overlooked in terms of the whole, most people go through life in a reactionary mode instead of listening to their intuition. Basically, your body's always telling you what's going on. You just choose to ignore it. You know when something's not right. How many times you say, oh, I knew that after the fact, or something didn't feel right, but I still ended up taking that job anyhow. I still ended up getting that relationship anyhow. I still got behind the car when I knew I shouldn't have, and there was some kind of negative outcome that came from it. Those answers are constantly being delivered to you through your connection of your intuition, yet we disconnect from that. That creates resentment, remorse, guilt. I should have done this, I should have done that. One of my trainers, she always said that her dad used to say to her, you know, you shouldn't should all over yourself. And that's what people do. They're constantly shooting all over themselves. And like that. And so, you know, you don't find, you know, so I asked the listeners that are listening to this, how many times do you should yourself in a day instead of giving forgiveness to yourself and saying, okay, how can I forgive myself for this, learn my lessons, and move forward? Because if we are connected universally and we're constantly given lessons as we go through life, we can't move forward unless we learn the lessons. So being conscious about saying, okay, it's time for me to get this lesson, and then actually trying to interpret what that lesson is, so next time it comes about in your life, you can make a different response to it. They say, you know, it's the definition of insanity, doing the same thing over and over again, expecting a different result. What if you don't like where your life is at this particular moment, what if you decided to do the complete opposite, just like that Seinfeld episode, the classic Seinfeld episode where George decided he was going to do the opposite of his life. He's like, if my life is horrible right now, that means the opposite of that has to be right. And he created a whole new life for himself. It was an amazing episode, one of my personal favorite episodes of Seinfeld. And so that's, you know, the intuition part, people may look at that as kind of a metaphysical woo-woo kind of process, but I think it's fundamental because being connected to what your body is trying to say to you is the absence of symptoms. And if you think about that, think about disease. What is disease? Disease is an imbalance in your body that is manifesting as multiple symptoms on many levels. And what is a symptom? It's essentially your body expressing to you, telling you that something's not right. So if you're going to take a drug or a pharmaceutical or something for symptoms, you're basically saying, yep, thank you, I'm not interested in you in listening to what you have to say to me. I just need to get on with my life. So they take a drug or something for symptoms, meanwhile, underneath your body, underneath your skin, however that organ is working, it's dysfunctional. And so you're like, I don't have time for that right now. So next thing you know, maybe that tissue is going to compensate in some way, shape, or form. And instead of the kidney being an issue, now it's your liver. And that shows up as a different symptom. And you say, oh, well, let me take this drug, or let me take this supplement, or let me take something else to turn off the symptoms of that. And you get on with your life. And you do this decade in and decade out. Eventually, it catches up to you, or your body just can't compensate anymore, to eventually where it collapses. And this is where chronic illness, allergies, chronic pain, fibromyalgia, chronic autoimmune diseases, all these chronic neurological diseases all come from. It comes from years and years and years of not listening to your body. And your body says, you know, I've been trying to keep you healthy for all these years, but I just can't do it anymore. Bam, illness.
Right.
So,
you know, some of the drugs have such a severe side effect that it's not really healing. It's like trading symptoms. And some of the side effects sound more severe than the original symptom. I used to watch the news, and I noticed depression medication was being advertised during the national news. And so it was like a, you know, you're picking your genre out of the market by people who would watch constantly negative news. And then they turn around and sell them depression medication. And you listen to the side effects, and it's like, well, crap, half those side effects are worse than the original symptom. So it's pretty clear that the body is confused, and the balance is distorted, not brought into harmony by a lot of those medications.
That's exactly right. And you just have to go back. I always keep going back to asking the body, why is that happening? And if the body's in balance, there are no symptoms. If the body's out of balance, there's symptoms. So if you're taking a drug, and I just need to preface, you know, this for this radio interview, I am a chiropractor. My dad's a pharmacist. I have an aunt and uncle and a cousin that are all pharmacists. I grew up in a pharmacy family. Another one of my chiropractors. One of my cousins is a chiropractor. You know, we have physical therapists and occupational therapists. We have a lot of healthcare people in my family. I'm not a medical basher in any way, shape, or form, but I am just kind of saying these are how, I mean, medicine saved my life as a child. I had major surgery that I would be dead by now if it wasn't for the medical establishment. So I'm grateful for that part of healthcare. But that being said, I'm not bashing medicine, but it's important to realize that when you are experiencing side effects from pharmaceuticals, those pharmaceuticals are designed specifically with the intention of shifting some kind of physiological process regardless of what causes it. So they're going to say, we're going to make that headache go away regardless of what causes it. And we're going to make your body go into that hole or into that box or into that space, whatever it is. Your body doesn't have a choice when you take that drug or product. And as an effect of that, as your body revolting or going against that, you get, quote-unquote, side effects. So if you are taking natural products or if you're taking things that are in balance with your body that we can determine through our biofeedback devices or through some of our laser technologies, we can see exactly what is working for your body and not things that are working against your body. And when we can do that, you don't experience side effects. You just experience a process of balance. And that process of balance is what's going to lead to optimal health and wellness on the physical, mental, emotional, spiritual level. So it's a cascading effect.
Right. In the natural, like you said, when the body is in balance, there is no disease.
Exactly. So I feel we just need to keep our eyes on the prize, and the prize is balance.
And in our culture, that can be challenging for people. I like to think of how you feel during the day. Like if you think about, you get up in the morning and there's your family there, and then you go to work. Well, actually, you commute, and you might commute with somebody or be by yourself. Then you go into work, and you're with somebody else, other people, and then you might go to a class at night, and there's different people there. Pay attention to how you feel in all those situations. I mean, is it okay for you to speak your mind when you're at home? But when you're at work, you tend to be quiet and don't honor your own input, and observe yourself over the day and watch yourself and how you're reacting to your environment. And, you know, sometimes where we get disconnected can be from the people we're exposed to. If the people at work get you uptight or get you depressed or get you resentful, that can be just as bad as abusing your body with bad food or something like that.
Exactly. I mean, I can tell you know, there's one story that I'll share with you real quick. You know, I've seen this multiple times. As people come in fact, I've had a phone call right before I got on this call from a new patient of mine that's coming to see me from Connecticut. And she's like, so her friend who referred her to me said that I'm going to cure all of her allergies and all my health care woes. And I said to her, I'm going to work with helping your body restore balance. And from there, your symptoms are going to resolve, and they should be able to resolve long term. So I corrected what she was saying. But interestingly enough, is I have a lot of patients that think, oh, I'm going to go see Dr. Schwartz. He's going to cure me of all my stuff. And that's just like the medical model. Like, hey, we're here to cure you. But really what I'm working with is I'm here to assist your body in restoring balance. So if the balance is not nutritional, but it's about your relationship to your spouse or you're in a really bad job or you're not really following your heart's desire and you want to, but you don't for whatever reasons you're considering, those things are going to inhibit you from being into balance. So with my modalities, I'm going to try to access those points to bring you to a place where you can move through them. Do you need to get a divorce? Do you need to just talk to your husband or your spouse or whoever it is? Do you need to, make a career change? I'm not going to make you do those things. You're the only person that knows about them, but they're major stressors that's going to influence the way that your physiology reacts. The flip side of that is you always hear stories about people that loved what they did and they practiced their job all the way, like lawyers. You know, I remember one lawyer, I heard he lived to be 98 years old. He practiced until he's 98 years old, and the day he stopped practicing, like, he was dead like a week later. Because that was his identity, that gave him his joy. You took the joy and it took his life force energy. Other people, they might be getting a large paycheck and can't stand their jobs. And next thing you know, at the age of 40 or 50, they had a stroke, a major, or a heart attack or something like that. And now, or they come down with cancer, developing cancer. So they were making all this money and they had the golden handcuffs in that regard, but they hated their jobs, or they never communicated appropriately to their spouse about how unhappy they were. They had some kind of trauma that was never communicated as a child or something. All these factors play into the body. But one point that we started this radio talk with, and I don't think I quite finished that comment, is as much as we have triggers and stressors in our blood, in our lives, the human body is so resilient. It can transcend those things. It's going to compensate way beyond what you think is normally possible. The problem with that is that if you let the compensation go for too long without doing maintenance or detoxing or balancing that or looking at it or resolving it or doing whatever you need to do to correct all that compensation, eventually that will turn into some kind of manifested disease process.
Right.
You know, cancer, autoimmune disease or something, you know, who knows, a broken bone or, you know, wherever that goes. And that might sound very metaphysical, but if we think about the principles of our bodies, if we are light, open to different dimensions, like we talked about earlier, and we can choose an infinite possibilities of purposes in our lives. We choose a specific manifested destiny, and we start walking down that road, and we reinforce it with our actions and our behaviors. So, and that takes us down a road of cancer, down the road of autoimmune disease. So what if we chose, and it's all from a vibrational expression of cellular communication, signal transduction, which I talked about earlier.
Right.
So if we change the way that our cells are expressing themselves, then we can change the outcome of that permanently or long term.
Well, this has been really a compelling dialogue. So share with our guests how they can get in touch with you and what material you might have available.
Well, there's a couple of things. First of all, my company, BioHarmonic Technologies, I have three CDs or sonic-ceutical products that are available now. Soon we'll have five products available. One is on like energy clearing CD. That's the first product that I made, and it literally clears energy out of the nervous system, out of your dwelling. It's for people that want to meditate but can't, and induces an alpha brainwave state. It's a very nice CD. I probably sell more of those CDs than anything else, and people call me about that CD more than anything else around. Another one of my CDs, or sonic-ceuticals, is called Cellular Attunement, and it works with balancing emotional imbalances. So it's an emotional balancing CD, and we made it specifically to work with a biofeedback device that we work with called the Evox, but it also stands alone. A third sonic-ceutical I created made for physical imbalances, and it's called Sonic-ceuticals Volume 1, and it works with tissue and bone regeneration, muscle relaxation, wound healing of the upper lower extremity, visceral healing, and a slew of other things. Actually, another one works with stem cell regeneration on that CD. So that's a really awesome product that I developed.
We just have a minute left here. So is there a web page or a URL that they can?
So they can go to bioharmonictechnologies.com. And that works with all my music CDs. You can check that out. You can order there. You can call me directly at 303-521-0091. I want to, as a special offer, if people want a free chapter in my before it's released, email me at drschwartz, it's drschwartz, at asabalance.com, or call me at 303-521-0091. Either text me or email me and say free chapter, and I will send you a free chapter in my book that's going to be released within the next few months. And then finally, if practitioners are listening to this and they are interested in finding out more about the technology that I utilize, you can go to our website at asabalance.com, www.asabalance.com, and patients, if you want to get in touch with me, or help find you a practitioner area, or contact me directly, you can contact me at 303-521-0091. And I'll just give you my personal email address. I'll be more than happy to have – I love talking to people that have questions. And it's chirodoc865@hotmail.com. That's chirodoc865@hotmail.com.
Well, you know, it's been great having you on the show, and I really appreciate you joining us.
Les, thank you so much. I really appreciate it. This is fun. I look forward to doing it again with you in the future.
All right. Thank you. Take care.
Thanks. Bye.
So, you know, I like the story of how Steve, Dr. Schwartz, grew into his profession. He grew into his expertise. He paid attention to his intuition as he exposed himself to his passion. And we all have that within us. So take care of yourself and show up for yourself because you're important. Well, that's all the time we have. Until next time, take care.
This has been a New Human Living radio broadcast. You can raise your own personal power with Personal Power Fundamentals Home Study Course at newhumanliving.com. Thanks for listening.